Okay. All right, this is Wednesday evening, 3:16. John 3:16:22. The title of this is, Are You Whipping Your Donkey? Danny guessed, well, I know where that title comes from, but let's look into it. Matthew 6. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, people don't equate this with seeking God, seeking His kingdom. They don't. They can quote you that 6:33 all day long, but they forget the in-between parts where it says don't take in thought about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Behold, that's God's way. Carefree. God's way. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think the Amplified says his way of doing and being right. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So to take care is really considered evil here. I know the whole world, including the church, they're all into this. They're all into the care of things instead of being carefree. Yeah. It's just natural to them. But it says you can't serve two masters, care or no care. I notice on the Kleenex box, the Kleenex brand, for the last few years they've put take care with a little heart on all of their boxes of Kleenex. I'm thinking, no thank you, I don't want it. Though, what is care? What is care root? What is the root of care? Did you see it? Yeah, it's fair. Did you see the heart? Did you see the take care on it? It may be. There it is right there. Take care. Heart. See, if the devil can get you to take care, then you've knocked yourself completely out of the will of God. Well, I'll tell you what, in heaven, they're not caring about nothing. And that's the way God wants it here in the earth. That's the way we were to pray. Your will be done in earth as in heaven. What is God's will? God's will is His word, generally and personally. Okay? I learned many years ago that if something is going on and you're not getting results, more than likely It's God standing there. We're, so to speak, whipping the donkey. We'll get to Balaam here in a minute. Doing our thing. And thinking, rebuking the devil. And it just seemed like nothing seems to work. And so we're going, finally, when we get tired of whipping the donkey, what do? We finally say, all right, Lord, what's up? What's up? Why is it not working? Well, let's keep going here. We're going to find out. That's what it means. Just doing what we do and expecting results and getting none. Now, last week we looked at inconsistency lies the power. Well, we're going to look at James again. That was the scripture last week, or one of them. James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let me say something here right quick. Seeking first the kingdom of God, that means that whenever you come across an instance where you're not getting results and you need God to show you what to do, that's what seeking Him means. That means you're following His will. We'll see, you'll see that after I keep doing it. Submit means to be under obedience or to put under. Resist there means to stand against or oppose. So when you're in the will of God, you can, well, I believe when you're in the will of God, it gives you the power to resist the devil. If you're one of these that, and I don't believe y'all are, but that are always wanting to do God's will, but they never think about it until they're facing a situation where they need Him to help them. See, walking in God's will is a lifestyle. This is a decision we make to choose to walk that carefree life and to obey the Father, obey His word, as opposed to not doing it. But most people see, that's why we see them like chicken with heads cut off, running around every prayer line, trying to get an answer, get somebody else to pray for them. They don't do their own praying for them. They don't get results. Why? Are they seeking God's will? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is His way of doing and being right, which is that way carefree. And when He speaks to you something, you do it. All right. Even Jesus learned obedience, it says, by the things which He suffered. Okay, being in God's will brings the power to resist the devil. If you're in the other master's camp, you can do it all day and you're not going to get results. I believe that I can safely say that if you're resisting the devil and he is not leaving, maybe you don't have the power. Because this is supernatural. Submitting to God, resisting the devil, is it by your power that the devil's leaving? No, it's God's. And you get that when you're walking, seeking first the kingdom and walking in His ways. All right? God has a way of standing there until you beat the and let you beat the donkey until He can get your attention. What did Balaam do? We're going to read the story here in a minute. What did he do? He's beating the donkey and cursing the donkey because she ran his foot into the side of the cliff or whatever. Until God opened his eyes and there was an angel standing there with a sword in his hand, fixing to whack him. The donkey was trying to save his life. And you know, when God is standing there, He's saying, look at me, child. Listen to me, child. Quit beating the donkey. Quit blaming the donkey. Or in other words, quit whipping a dead horse. All right, we're supposed to be at peace and rest, not beating the donkey. All right, let's look at that. You know what? I didn't even write it down. Yes, I did. Numbers 22. Let's look at Jesus first, then we'll go to Balaam. This is Luke 4. We're going to see how Jesus handled the devil. All right, Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he's walking in the Spirit. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they had ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Verse 14 says, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So he went into it in the Spirit, and he left in the Spirit. Okay. If you find yourself in this type of situation, beating the donkey is not the answer. It's submitting yourself to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee, the scripture says. I believe it's by the power of God that the devil flees, because you're in the Spirit. You're in the will of God, and you're resisting the evil one. Because he's trying to get you over into his camp, right? To do what he wants you to do, to get in that care mode. Christians in that kind of mode, you see why the devil's infiltrated the church and everywhere else, because most Christians live in that other camp. And they think that that's the right camp to be in. Because it seems like everybody and their dog's in it. Okay, now, Numbers 22. Are there things in your life that God has specifically spoken to you about? And are you doing them? Sometimes that's the problem. Verse 1 says, And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. And peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed in the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent me unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. I'm thinking, okay. And Balaam rose up in the morning, and he said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. They came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. I'm going, there's my first mistake. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. He's a divinator. Yeah. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. I'm thinking, it kind of sounds like the people today that you hear on social media, they're Christians, but they don't see anything wrong with psychics. They don't see anything wrong with watching Janine with tarot cards. They don't see anything wrong with it. They just lump it all together and say, well, this is, you know, it's they've hidden this from us. This is truly the way God is. Well, no, it isn't. Isn't that what it sounds like? He speak with forked tongue. Instead of saying, don't bother coming because I ain't coming. And left it at that. What happened? The devil got in here. It's evident. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall between, or being on one, this side and a wall on that side. Got him right into a straight place where he couldn't go anywhere else to try to stop him so he could speak to him. To save his life. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. Isn't that how we get desperate? Finally, we'll say, okay, Lord, what's going on? We do our methods and our things, but if they don't work, where do we find ourselves? Between a hard place and a rock? That was Balaam. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? He wasn't even surprised that the donkey talked to him. I'm going, And Balaam said unto the ass, and he's talking to her. Because thou hast mocked me, there would be a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. It's too bad. I mean, he had to do a lot to get his attention. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with them, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come with thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people. So initially, he ends up giving them information that caused Israel to stumble. I didn't put that scripture down, but that's what happened. Okay, there's another scripture I want to read to you. It's in Joshua. Let me see where. Okay. I'll just read it to you. Joshua 13:22. Balaam also, when Joshua went in, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. See, God didn't want Balaam to die. But, I mean, he did everything he could to try to get his attention. All right. There is power when we submit to God. It does resist the devil. We're going to look at another instance where we see this power kick in. This is Genesis chapter 26. All right, verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. All right, verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed seed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So, you see here what happened because it doesn't stop there. I like the second part even better. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him, and they digged another well. He just kept moving. The man wouldn't get out of God's will and get in strife. See, it's carefree or care. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." That's the way his father was. He was a very generous man. When old stingy Lot took the best of the land, what did God do? He said, "Now look up north, south, east, west, as far as you can see, it's yours." What does care do? Makes you stingy. Thinking about yourself and what you don't have or what you might need. Think about what I'm saying here today. All right. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Disobedience always causes delays. And we're going to look at that too. I know God talked about how great Abraham was, but he had his faults. Genesis 12. He got it together, but he had some problems. This is Genesis 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him." I thought he was supposed to leave his kindred. All right. "Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of the Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah," or Morah, "and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on to the, still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." He needed to take a pointer from his son that wasn't born yet. There's some instances here. He took Lot with him. He went down to Egypt and picked up Hagar. When he got back home, he had to go rescue Lot. His workers and Lot's workers were infighting. All these problems started to happen. Why? He said, leave your kindred. That was the first thing. What was God's will? Lose the fam. God said, go where I lead you to and stay there. He went into Egypt. Delays, delays, delays. How many times does God give us specific instructions and we look up in 6 months and think, you know what, I forgot about that. I hadn't done anything he told me to do. No guilt complex today. That's not what this is about. This is about being more fine-tuned with the little things that God says, because the scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We're looking for some big something that we're maybe not doing right or we need to change, but it's those little foxes that are gnawing away. All right, Genesis 14. This is when, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot as goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Why? I mean, think about it. He had to go do these things and have battles and have delays. Wouldn't it have just been easier to just follow the Lord's command and just do what he said to do? All right, 15. Look at the first six verses there. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and was counted unto him as righteousness. All right, now go over to 17. Now in the meantime, I didn't write this scripture down. He goes to Egypt, he picks up Hagar. And then Sarah has a bright idea about, well, let's just read 16. It's right there. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. So, he was 75, around in there. Well, the next thing we see, this is chapter 17, Abram's 99 years old. You don't see that the Lord spoke to him about anything. Delays, delays, delays. All right, verse 16. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Wait a minute, that's wrong. I wrote that down wrong. A minute, let me find it. All right. Let's just start with verse 1 because I messed up. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. See, he comes back to remind you at times to tell you, you're asking him, Lord, what about this? What about that? He says, well, when are you going to do what I ask you to do? And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruit, when I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant we shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Okay, let's go on up. All right, 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give Her, thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But Lord, I don't want to do it that way. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So this is the second time God has told him what he wanted to do. God does not want us to struggle with his plan. He just wants us to hear and obey. And if we do, if we put him first, if we seek his kingdom first, which is his way of doing and being right, then whenever we come to a place where we need help, we need an answer, then we can resist the devil and he will flee. So keep that in mind. All right, that's it.